Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Serving. We believe that it's scriptural. We believe that Jesus modeled that to us when he washed the disciples' feet. And in the book of Philippians, it says he took on the form of a servant. He didn't make himself of any reputation. So we want to follow after our master, follow after our teacher, follow after our example, Jesus, and we want to be people that serve. Amen. If you don't know your part, and I shared this and encouraged this last week, if you don't know your part, get with myself, get with Pastor Madison. We would love nothing more than to help you discover your God-given gifts and get you plugged in to serve, because we believe it, what it says, I'm going to read it in just a moment in Ephesians, that when every joint supplies, everybody does their part, it causes the growth of the body. And we believe that we're in a season of growth. We believe that we're in a kingdom of growth and expansion. As it says in Isaiah 54, you shall expand to the right and to the left. We believe that we can see the fulfillment of that when we all do our part, but we can't do our part if we don't know our part. Amen. All right, we're going to, if you would, go ahead and get your Bible and stand to your feet with me and turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to continue in our growth chart series today, and we're going to read the exact same passage that we read last week, because this is the foundational text for where all of this is coming from, what the Lord's been speaking to me for this season that we're in. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, if you would follow along with me, if you have your Bible with you, and it reads as such. And he, speaking of Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you that you gave us your word to instruct and lead and guide us. And I pray now that you would anoint me by your Holy Spirit in the spirit of wisdom and understanding to teach your word with accuracy and anointing. I pray that every single heart that is here listening in person, online, or later on a podcast, that you would speak, God, not because of me, but through me. And I pray that you would allow your word to be revelatory to your people today. God, take off the veil. If there's a veil over eyes today, I pray that it would be taken away today to be able to receive the word of God in clarity and truth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for being here today. It's so good to have all of you and see each and every one of you. And as I mentioned, praise and worship and ministry went a little bit longer. We're just committed to allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way, to do whatever he wants to do at any given time. And I mentioned that I'd make adjustments if needed, and you guys get to help out with that a little bit, okay? The more that you engage and the more that you respond to the word, the quicker I'll get through it. So if y'all just sit there silently today, you will not beat the Baptist to the buffet. But if you will engage and you'll say, hey, amen, that's good, I'll be able to move on to the next point. But if you don't say anything like that, I'll think you're not getting it, so I'll repeat, right? Pete and repeat, we're sitting on the fence. Pete fell off. Who was left? Okay, so you guys fell for it. I thought you guys would be old enough, smart enough to be like, I ain't getting in that cycle. That's a carousel. It just goes around and around, and you never get off of it. But I'll just keep repeating it. So I'd like some reciprocation today, not because I'm needy and I feel like I need it, but I just want to make sure that I know that you're getting it so that we can get through all this in a timely manner. Amen? But last week, I introduced a series to us and laid the foundation out of Ephesians chapter 4, which we just read. And that series is called the Growth Chart series. And I'm believing that we're going to see a bursting forth of growth in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives, in our marriages, in our children's life, in this church, in this community, that as we commit to saying we want to be people that will do our share to cause the growth of the body, that I want to be able to supply to you what you need and you can supply to me what I need. It's amazing this cycle that comes through and the, you know, how every single person doing their share, though we're all different, as we all commit to being like, I want to be somebody that I'll do whatever it is that God calls me to do. It doesn't just benefit our life. It benefits everybody. That even though it seems like it's not connected, but it really is connected. All these things, you know, when our nation faced, or really the world faced COVID-19 a couple years ago, we begin to see how everything began to kind of crumble and come to a halt in the job force and in you know, all these things, because this broke down and because this broke down, and it didn't seem like this was connected to that, but now there's shipping issues because there's an issue with this and there's an issue with that, and all these things work together. But in the body of Christ, when we all work together, we all do our share. The Bible says it causes the growth of the body. So I want to do my part, and I want to encourage you to do your part to cause growth in the body of Christ, to cause growth in our community. And so I want to recap just a little bit last week in case you weren't here or in case you have short-term memory loss. But Paul is talking in Ephesians chapter 4 about spiritual authority. He's talking about unity, and he's talking about adding to the church, doing your part. And so I want to encourage you to make sure that you're submitted to spiritual authority. You're walking in unity with other believers, with the word of God, with those that are in our, you know, within the will of God, the plan of God, the kingdom of God, and that you're doing your part, okay? So that's why I wanted to read that scripture again, is that we understand this is the basis for growth. But in the next 6 weeks, what we're going to do, this series, it works this way. The word growth is an acronym. If you're not familiar with an acronym, I assume everyone is. It's that each letter of a word represents another word, or in our case, it is a topic that we're going to cover. So the G stands for grace. The R stands for repentance. The O stands for offering. The W stands for worship. The T stands for training. And the H stands for harvest. And we want to grow in all of these areas of our life, because we believe that if we will be committed to be people of grace and repentance and offering and worship and training and harvest, that will bring about growth in the body of Christ and in our life as believers of God, as we follow him and as we listen to him. But Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I want you guys to examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. So part of this growth chart series, the reason it's a chart is you get to measure. It's like this chart is like a measuring rod. How am I doing in grace? How am I doing in repentance? How am I doing in offering myself, offering my worship, offering my finances, offering my service to the Lord, offering encouragement to others? How am I doing in worship? Am I truly a person of worship, or is it just a Sunday morning type of thing? How am I doing in training? Because I believe that we should train to be men and women of God who study the word, know the word, pray instant, in season and out of season. How am I doing in harvest? Meaning, how am I doing in bringing souls into the kingdom of God? How am I doing in evangelizing and reaching people? You know, I read something last week that there was a study that was done that said of all the people that respond in an invitation to come to church, 2% come because of advertisement, Facebook, a billboard, newspaper, 2%, okay? And then there's another small percent, I think it's something like 2%, that come because they were invited by the pastor. Right? The pastor somehow, the pastor doesn't know him, but they met him. And so if I were to invite someone, I think it's like something like 6% come because the pastor invited them. But it's something like 86% of people who come to church come because a friend or a family member invited them to come to church. 86%. That means that you have a personal responsibility, and I have a personal responsibility, that our friends and family members, that we need to be in, not just inviting them to church, but inviting them to get to know Jesus, inviting them to come. If you believe that God has changed your life and made your life better, would you not want somebody else to be a part of that? I don't know about you, but anytime I experience something that is just fantastic, I want other people to experience it with me. If I eat a great burger, I want to call my brother or call my friend and be like, dude, we got to go eat burgers at this place. Why? Because they're fantastic. And I don't want to just enjoy it. If I play a good golf course, I'll call my brother. I'll call my brother-in-law. I'll call my dad and I'll be like, we got to go. I'll call Peyton. I'll be like, or Josh, my golfing buddies, and be like, we've got to go and play this place because it's just fantastic. And when we encounter the kingdom of God, shouldn't we want other people? How many of you have been impacted by the grace of Jesus Christ? We should all want other people to experience what it is that we have felt and known in the transformation that's taken place. Amen. So this is a chart. Paul said to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Listen, even I as a pastor need to take an account and look at my life and go, am I living in the faith? I don't want to just take it for granted and be like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I said a prayer. I'm saved. I go to church. I do all the right things. No, Paul said, examine yourselves. In other words, look at the metrics. Look at your life. Look at the fruit and be like, am I really living in the faith? Am I really committing myself to the Lord? Listen, I'm just going to keep hammering on this because nobody's saying anything. Somebody say amen and we'll get off of this. This wasn't even in my notes. I'm just talking to you, okay? But I believe that when we are connected to the true vine, Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. You are the branches. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. What's he saying? Every branch that doesn't grow and produce fruit will be cut off and thrown in the fire. But every branch that bears fruit, I'll prune so that it can bear more fruit. So the reward for bearing fruit is getting pruned. The reward for growth is, hey, I'm gonna cut you back so that you can grow even more and you can produce even more fruit. But I believe that when we're connected to the vine, Jesus, who is Jesus, we should be growing. We ought to be bearing fruit. And what I want to talk to you about today is the G in the growth series, grace. I want to talk to you about growing in grace. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter concludes this epistle, the second epistle that he wrote. And he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. He says, I want you to grow in grace. Now, I think that we're all well aware of our need for grace. We all know that we need the grace of God. Why? Because Ephesians tells us that it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have a basic understanding that if I don't have grace, I can't even be saved, right? So we know that we need grace, but how often do we think about growing in grace? You see, we need the grace of God in order to be saved, but we also need to grow in that grace. And what I mean by that is that grow means to increase. It means to become greater. So I want to look at it two ways. One, I want to grow in the grace that's been extended to me, meaning I don't want to take it in vain. I don't want to set it aside. I don't want to just be like, yeah, I've been saved. But I want to grow in that grace because it's the grace of God, according to the book of Titus, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust so that we can live soberly and righteously in this present age. So I want to grow in that grace. I want to become greater and increase and go further in my walk with God. But I also want to grow in extending grace. That's what I want to talk to you more about today, is grow in extending grace to other people. You know, the word grace, it means favor. Really, it means unmerited favor, meaning favor that you didn't earn, that you don't deserve, that you could never get on your own. And I want to talk about giving that because a simple definition of grace is giving somebody what they don't deserve. So when I say extending grace, I'm talking about when someone is wrong, but you still give them favor anyway. It's what he did to us. It's what he's done for us. It's what he does over and over again. And I want to encourage you this morning, let's become people that become great at giving grace. That's why he's saying, I want you to grow. I want you to become greater and increase and become better at grace. So the next time that your spouse forgets to stop at the store on the way home from work and pick up milk, and so you can't have cereal at 10 p.m. and those Lucky Charms are calling your name, but everybody knows Lucky Charms just aren't good without milk to go in there, and you're frustrated and you're mad, instead of getting upset at them, even though they forgot, you give them grace. The next time your coworker doesn't follow through with their end of a deal and you guys are working on something together and they are supposed to do something over the weekend, and when you convene back on Monday morning, everybody's supposed to have done their job and we can move forward, but they show up and you don't realize that their kid had a softball game this weekend and that they had a flat tire on their way to work this morning, and that, you know, that they're having difficulty in their marriage. And so instead of getting mad at them and upset at them and frustrated and losing your cool on them and telling your boss, I can't work with them anymore, how about giving grace? How about showing them favor that they don't deserve? See, we have a hard time with this because we still believe the old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They were wrong, so I can have an ought against them, right? No. He said, I want you to grow in grace. I want you to become greater and greater and increase at giving grace. So remember the parable that Jesus told about the unforgiving servant? He tells a parable, and anytime Jesus told a parable, that meant he was really trying to drive a point home because he made up a story that surrounded a situation that he really wanted them to understand what he was saying. And so he said there was this servant that he owed an amount of money that he could never in a lifetime repay to the king. And he fell down before the king and he said, please forgive me my debt. You know, please, I can't pay it. I don't want to go to prison for this debt. And the king said, okay, I forgive you. And the servant that had been forgiven, he goes immediately out to another person that owed him like 1% of what he owed the king. And the Bible says he began to shake him down and say, pay me what you owe me. Somebody saw it and went and told the king. The king said, you go get that worthless servant and you get him in here right now. He said, I forgave you all your debts. How is it that you could not forgive this other person? He said, now you're going to be put into prison to pay the debt that you owe until you can be there, because you would not forgive others their trespasses against you. It's found in Matthew chapter 18. And how often do we treat people like that with grace? How many times has God given you what you don't deserve? But somebody makes one little mistake. They do one thing that gets under your skin. And you forget everything that God has done for you. And you begin to act like they owe you big time. And you can just say whatever you want about them and treat them however you want. Don't forget, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. If you don't extend grace to others, then there comes a point in time when I will draw back my grace from you. Not because he's not a gracious God, but because he said, you didn't forgive the way that I forgave you, right? So we want to be people that extend and give grace because we have received an unprecedented amount of grace from our Heavenly Father. So therefore, I believe we should extend that grace to others when they're less than perfect. But you know what you'll come to find out? You'll come to find out that life, this is revelatory. You ready for this? Life's a lot better when you're not in a bad mood all the time. Some people live with a bad attitude and wonder why they have a frustrated, bad life. I love to say a bad attitude has never improved a bad situation. So if things are going, let's say at work, you have a bad situation. A bad attitude won't make it any better. Getting upset at the person that caused the issue won't make it any better. When has you losing your cool and being mad at somebody made a situation better? Never. But when we will extend grace, because you see, grace changes the paradigm and changes the situation. Just like when Jesus stepped into the earth and became a man and lived without sin and went to the cross and died for us and was resurrected, that was grace in action and it changed all of our life forever. So should we not try the same exact thing in other people's life? Because we will realize that if we will give and extend grace, it can change our situation. So show some grace. Give people the chance that you yourself expect to receive. So what I really want to focus on this morning, though, is giving grace in regards to our tongue, the way that we talk, how we treat others, how we talk to others. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this. Because, and remember, this is in the exact same chapter that we read earlier. Okay, this is just if you keep on reading down. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt, that word corrupt means rotten, worthless, or bad word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt, worthless, rotten, or bad word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification? Here's why. That it may impart grace to the hearers. When we think about grace, we always think about what God gives us. But here Paul is saying, you need to edify other people so that the grace that you've received, you can impart into their life. You can give grace to somebody that is unfamiliar with grace. Somebody that they're not used to receiving this. They're not used to feeling this. But if you will begin to edify, you'll begin to exhort, you'll begin to comfort, you'll begin to speak into their life, you can impart grace into them. But he says, don't let anything worthless come out of your mouth. Just three verses earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, be angry and sin not. I don't think it's a coincidence that he says, be angry and sin not. And three verses later, he says, don't let any corrupt word come out of your mouth. Because what he's saying is there's going to be people in your life that are going to frustrate the living daylights out of you. But you can be angry and not sin. You can be angry and not fall prey to tearing them down, pouring rotten, worthless, bad, negative things into their life. Don't let any corrupt word out of your mouth, but rather, instead of doing that, encourage that person. It goes back to what Jesus taught. He said, if somebody wants your tunic, give them your coat. If somebody slaps you across the face, turn to them the other cheek. If somebody compels you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles with them. If somebody makes you angry, don't sin. Don't say corrupt things to them. Encourage them, edify them, and love them. So next time somebody starts cussing you out, start blessing them back. The next time somebody treats you wrong, talks behind your back, cheats you, does something that makes you angry, just bless them back. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Romans, it says, do not repay evil for evil, but instead repay evil with good. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, don't, when you're angry, don't sin, but rather edify those people. Impart grace, because what they need is not a good tongue lashing. What they need is grace. Because grace will teach them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So if we speak corrupt things, we're feeding the fuel that is going to continue for them to act angry and mad and disappointed all the time. But we can change and we can shift the situation when we start to impart grace to them, when we start to edify them, when we start to build them up. Because when we become angry, it is very easy to use our tongue as a weapon. I've seen it in my life. In work, in home, out in the community, when you get angry, it is very easy to use your tongue as a weapon, but you get to choose. Do I want my tongue to be a weapon or do I want it to be a medicine? Because the book of Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. That means that when somebody says something to you that ruffles your feathers and you give them a soft answer, it turns away the wrath. But when you speak harsh words, it's just fanning up the flame and stirring it up and making it worse and worse and worse. Listen, rude words, worthless words, corrupt words have never helped a person, never helped a situation. But Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. What you don't realize is the corrupt words that are coming out of other people's lives, the curses that are coming out of their life, it's because there's a polluted spring inside of them. And when you speak words of life, you're promoting health in an unhealthy situation. You're promoting life in a place where there's death. You're bringing about edification where there's been nothing but being torn down and pushed aside and ridiculed all the time. So we can shift the spectrum, but Paul gives us opposite ends. He says, don't let any corrupt word come out of your mouth, but rather use words that edify, because edification imparts grace. I want to ask you, with your words, are you imparting grace or are you imparting corruption? In the lives of your children, what are you depositing into them on a daily basis? Are you speaking grace into them? Or are you letting corrupt, worthless, bad, rotten words spew out of your mouth and pollute many people? What impact are your words having on your coworkers? What impact are your Facebook posts having on people? What impact are the text messages that you're sending having on people? What are you pouring out? Because when you speak, you are depositing something into people. Is it worthless or is it beneficial? Is it degrading or is it uplifting? If I asked all the parents in the room, would you feed your children rotten meat? We would all say, absolutely not. But how often are we putting rotten words inside of them? How often are we imparting to them something that is not grace? Right? I want to impart grace, favor, blessing, kindness. I want to grow gracious in my speech. I want the words that I say be used to build others up, that I would deposit and impart grace into people's life through the words that I speak. But Paul refers to edification as necessary. He says that which is necessary for edification because it imparts grace. You know, people say you can't tame the tongue. Even if you go in your Bible to James chapter 3, most Bibles, the topic will say the untamable tongue. The Bible never says that the tongue is untamable. It says in James chapter 3, no man can tame the tongue. Well, when I read that, it reminds me of what Jesus said. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So don't say, well, I guess no man can tame the tongue. That's just a justification to continue to spew poison on other people, rottenness into people, coarse language into people's life. That's just an excuse to say that because Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So if you say no one can tame the tongue, you're saying there is something that is impossible for God. But he said, with God. So here's the deal. How do we change our words from being corrupt to being edifying? It's with God. We say, Lord, like David prayed, set a guard over my mouth, that no wicked or worthless thing would come out of it. Help me in my words to impart grace to the hearers. With his grace, you can impart grace. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes to the church there and he says, let your speech always be with grace. I'm going to let that sink in for just a second. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, if you have been around here for a while, you'll know that I'm huge on context. I don't believe that we should just pick and choose a verse here and there and just try to drive a point home based on that. I think we should understand what the apostle or what the writer was saying in the script. It's important to understand that Paul is referring to our conversations with unbelievers in this passage. If you go back and you read the passage as a whole, you'll realize that he is talking about how we talk with people that are not Christians. Listen, I want to just say this. You should be having conversations with non-Christians, okay? Because how else are they going to get to know Jesus if somebody that knows Jesus doesn't introduce them to Jesus? Okay? So in verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. What's he talking about? He's talking about people that are outside the faith, not a part of the kingdom of God, making the best use of time. Then he says, let your speech, when you're talking to unbelievers, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. If we are going to make an impact in our community and we're going to see people get saved, people get healed, people get planted in the house of the Lord, people's marriages get restored, miracles take place in people's life, then we must realize that how we speak to people matters. How you talk to people matters. Listen, I'm just going to go here for a second. How you talk to the waiter or waitress today at lunch matters. Give me this. I'll take that. They are not your servant. They're a person, probably, most likely, somebody that is struggling to make ends meet, not getting paid enough, but they chose to show up today. And don't let Sunday be the worst day of their week because you left them 27 cents as a tip and you said, give me this, and yeah, I want a refill, and you're just being rude. How you talk to them matters. How you treat every single person matters to God. When I go to a restaurant, I try to say, can I please have? I would like to get, because I understand they may be working this job as a waiter or a waitress, but I don't own them. And I'm going to tip them in a good way because I want it to shine back, not on me, but I don't want people to think that there's a Christian and they're coming in here and they're rude. Waiters and waitresses will always tell you this. Sunday's the worst day to work. Anybody ever worked as a waiter or a waitress? Was Sunday the best day to work? No. You know why? Because church folk come in on Sunday. And they've been holy rolling in the altar. But then they come in there, and they're like the widow with the two mites. You know what I'm talking about? Give them 2 cents on the table. They didn't refill my water when it got below, you know, quarter inch below the top of it. I don't really think they're, honey, that waiter just wasn't on top of his job today. Yeah, it's because he was taking care of 47 tables because nobody else showed up. And you left him 2 cents to work, and you talk to him like he's a dog, right? Treat people with some respect. He said, Paul said, when you're talking to outsiders, let your speech be with unmerited favor. What does that mean? They might treat you like a dog, but you treat them like the king of the world. Whether they deserve it or not, you talk to them with kindness, with love, with respect. You be the best person that they've encountered all day long. You don't have to have the biggest or the best personality to be kind. To be nice. Some people use being quiet and being shy as an excuse to be rude. No, you can be kind and be quiet. You can be nice and not have the biggest personality. How you speak to your coworkers matters. And Paul tells us, he says, let your speech be always with grace. This is important. I want to point out. He didn't say let your conversation always be about grace, but with grace. I'm a big proponent of sharing the gospel with people, but I'm also a big proponent of not trying to beat the gospel down people's throat. He said, let it be with grace, not about grace. There's some Christians that are wound so tight, you're just waiting on a string to break. You know what I'm talking about? You just like, they're just, you know, talking, everything's got to be a scripture or, you know, everything's got to be, you know, you know what I love doing? Oh, that's getting way off topic. But you always, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. Never mind. I was this close, but the Holy Spirit was like, don't you go there. All right. But I do want to say this. You don't have to be a Bible thumper to lead people to Jesus. You want to be the type of person that lives in such a way, and you're growing in grace, and you're imparting grace with your words, and you're edifying, and you're kind, and you're loving, that people want to hear what you have to say. Not you have to make them listen to what you have to say. That people are coming to you and going, what time was it you said y'all have church on Sunday morning? What was it that you said that God helped you get through with your child? What was it that you said that you didn't know if you were going to get to pay this bill and God miraculously paid for it or it was forgiven? That you're always talking about grace and you're always talking, you know, not just about grace, but with grace. And even if they say, hey, maybe they come to you and go, hey, I you've never said this, but are you a Christian? Yeah. And you go, yeah, how'd you know? Just the way that you talked was different. Like you weren't talking about God, but there was just something about the way that you talked. Because he said, I want your speech to always be with grace. Listen to this. Seasoned with salt. What does that mean? That terminology was commonly used amongst the Greeks to say that someone in conversation, that what they said, the words that they said, they were agreeable, palatable, and oftentimes humorous. Listen to this. It's okay to laugh a little bit. If there's one thing I could tell Christians, is it's okay to have a little fun. Like I said, some Christians are wound so tight. Well, if I laugh, they'll think I'm a sinner, right? He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what Paul was saying? Let your speech be with grace, but put some humor in there with it. You know the old saying, a little bit of honey makes the medicine go down? Or you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar? Well, put some salt in your speech to make it agreeable to people that you're not all the time just... Some people, it's amazing. I see some people in church and they won't say a word. You see them at Walmart and you're trying to look for a way to get out, right? You're like, I think I hear my mom calling. They're like, you're 31. What are you talking about? You're your mom calling, right? Yeah, she's 3 aisles over. I probably need to go see. She probably can't reach something on the top shelf. I'll see you later, right? You can't get away from them. But when you start talking about God, people clam up and they get weird and they get uncomfortable. He's saying, look, I want, when you talk with other people, let it be with grace, but let it be seasoned with salt. Let it just be normal conversation. Throw a little bit of humor in there. Laugh with people. Make it palatable. When you get saved, you don't lose the personality God gave you. You just become saved with the personality that he gave you. So it's okay to be yourself, right? It's okay to have a good time. It's not a sin to smile. It's not wrong to laugh every now and again with people, because the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. But I'll begin to wrap it up by saying this. People are watching you more than you realize. The people at your job that you clock in and clock out beside them every single day, they're watching. Is your speech always with grace, seasoned with salt? Are you imparting grace to the people that are hearing you? Are you speaking edification? Or are you speaking corrupt, worthless, bad, rotten words? Because people are watching. And we don't live for people. But when we live for Jesus, he gives us the influence and the ability to impact others. So I want to encourage you, because when your speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt, you will impact people in a way that will influence them towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your words carry weight. Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You get to choose. Am I giving encouragement or am I giving corruption? Am I giving grace or am I giving condemnation? Let the Holy Spirit control your tongue this week. Let that be a prayer. Holy Spirit, control my tongue this week. I give it to you. I surrender whatever you want me to say. Why? So that your progress may be evident to all. Remember what Paul said that we talked about last week? He said to Timothy, he said, that your progress may be evident to all. Let it be that people on your job say, you know what? You only say nice things to people. You know, you used to be negative all the time, and now you're positive all the time. You used to make fun of people, now you encourage people. You say, yeah, that's because I'm growing in grace. It's not me. It's the grace of God that's inside of me, that he has given me so much grace that I just realized I should probably give other people the same amount of grace that he has given to me. I'm going to extend grace even when people don't deserve it. So people start asking, why don't you talk like you used to? Because I'm growing in grace. And then they go, what does that mean? And you get to explain to them how God has changed and transformed your life. But let your speech be always, how often? Always with grace. That means there is never a moment that speaking rude, worthless, bad words to someone is justifiable. Let it always be with grace, seasoned with salt. I want to use my words to impart grace to anybody that hears me. If they overhear me, when I'm at the table and the table next, I want there to be so much grace coming out that it flows over into other people's conversation. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. I'd love the opportunity, as everyone stands to your feet, just to pray for you today, that your words would be words that would impart grace, that you would let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth except that which is necessary for edification, that it would impart grace to the hearers. If you're saying, hey, I need a new tongue. I need a new heart. I need God to help me. I need the Holy Spirit. If you're saying, I'd like the Holy Spirit to control my tongue so that I can speak grace and not condemnation over people, would you just lift your hands this morning? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for all of your people that are here today. I thank you for your word that instructs us and teaches us. And I ask that today that there would be an impartation of grace. God, I pray that even as I pray this and I speak this over your people, that it would impart grace, and that that grace would be imparted to their children, to their coworkers, to their spouses, to their family members, to their friends, to their neighbors, to our community. God, may this house be a house that pours grace into other people's life. God, not condemnation, but edification, Lord, that we would build other people up. that as we do our part, that it would cause growth of the body. And Lord, I pray that you would cleanse our tongues and our hearts from any evil that we have spewed out, any rottenness, any negativity that has been poured into our children or into our community. God, we repent of it right now. And just like as the angel came and he took coals and he cleansed Isaiah's tongue, God, cleanse our lips, Lord. Cleanse our mouth, God. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, God, that we would be able to speak grace into other people's lives, and that we would be like Peter said, growing in grace, becoming greater, increasing more and more in the grace that we extend, because God, you've already poured out upon us an unconditional amount of grace. You've lavished it on us, and we say thank you for that grace, and we want to grow in your grace, God. Teach us, be with us throughout this week, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Lift your hands and receive this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We love you.